This is why, when I heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus that is present in your community and of your great love for all God's people, I haven't stopped thanking him for you. I am continually speaking to him on your behalf in my prayers. Here is what I say. God of our Lord Jesus the Anointed, Father of glory, I call out to you on behalf of your people. Give them minds ready to receive wisdom and revelation so they will truly know you. Open the eyes of their hearts and let the light of your truth flood in. Shine your light on the hope you are calling them to embrace. Reveal to them the glorious riches you are preparing as their inheritance. Let them see the full extent of your power that is at work in those of us who believe, and may it be done according to your might and power. Friends, it is this same might and resurrection power that he used in the Anointed One to raise him from the dead and to position him at his right hand in heaven. There is nothing over him. He's above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, over every name invoked, over every title bestowed in this age and the next. God has placed all things beneath his feet and anointed him as the head over all things for his church. This church is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all.
So we come to pray to this wonderful God this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. And help us as we just think about your word this morning. Amen. Prayer is so important, isn't it? It's such a key bit of our lives. Why though is it sometimes difficult? What are some of the struggles we have with prayer? Why do we struggle? Anybody, just be honest, some of the things that are difficult about prayer, maybe? George?
Sometimes my mind wanders and I just want to watch Netflix.
Okay, sometimes our mind wanders, yes. Other struggles anybody want to admit to with prayer? Killing?
I think the spiritual battle to, you know, speak to God and go my own way is really hard.
So it's a real battle, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Why any struggles? Why prayer might be difficult sometimes, Joan? Anything you'd say?
Well, sometimes we cut ourselves off from God.
Yeah.
But when we get close to him, his love abounding just wraps his arms around us and says, come home.
Thank you, Joan. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Joan. Thank you. Well, I want to just do, and I need a volunteer. Ruby, would you like to help me? Ruby, would you like to help me this morning? Ruby? Hello, Ruby. Ruby, would you like to help me with something this morning? Come on, Ruby. Now, a little later on, Ruby, do you see that table in the corner? It's called a communion table. I'm going to need somebody to help me lift it. Do you think you might help me lift it later on? Will we do a little test now? Let's do a little test. Come over here with me, Ruby, for a minute, if you could. Now, just watch me over here for a minute. The thing is, Ruby, that there's a man called Keith Nurse, and he's very, very concerned we don't score the floor. So when we move things, we have to lift them really, really carefully. Ruby, do you think you could lift this table from here to there? Do you want to try? Not by yourself. Not by yourself. Oh, why not? So hang on, let's just get the microphone. Why not by yourself, do you think, Ruby?
Because I'm too weak.
Do you want to try? Just have a little try. Have a little try.
I don't want to score the floor.
You don't want to score the floor? No, it's really important not to score the floor. Now, is there anybody, Ruby, who might help you? Can you see any big, strong people who might... Come over here. Let's see if we can pick some big, strong people who might be able to help you. Jed, no? Is he big and strong enough, do you think? Is he? Oh, come on, he can help, yeah. It's not Jed. What's your first name?
Abraham,
sorry, I mixed it with Jed. Abraham, but no, you're not sure about Abraham. Maybe, no? No. Who would you like to help?
My dad.
Your dad? Come on, Dad. And Abraham can help us as well. Come on, Dad. Anybody else think we might need another? Is your dad strong enough? Do you think he's strong enough?
Yeah,
he's not strong enough. Is there anybody else? Who else, Ruby, might we need? We've got to lift it, you know, right off the ground and pull it over. Who else might we need? Gracie? Gracie there. Come on, Gracie. Do you think that's enough? Got enough help now or not? Maybe one more? Probably. Let's just give it a go. Come on, let's go. Over here. Okay. Now, all three of you, come and just get around. What's really important, folks, is we lift the table cleanly. And we're not going to take it all the way over now. And just make sure we don't score the floor. Okay? Okay, let's see how we go. Oh, well done. Oh, look at that. Oh, brilliant. Oh, Gracie's really struggling. Well done. Oh, fantastic. That's great. Ah, you can do it. Well done. Ah, come on, round of applause, please. Round of applause. It's all because of Dad. You see, the point is this morning, Ruby was very careful to pick people who were strong enough to lift the table from there, eventually later on over to here. You see, if you believe prayer will be answered, it really depends on who you pray to, and if you believe the God we pray to is big enough and strong enough to answer our prayers. If you really believe in a great God, a mighty God, you will pray to Him. You will pour out your heart to Him. If you don't really believe He's that strong and that mighty, you won't have a lot of faith. So, the point I want to make is this. Whether we believe our prayers will be answered will be affected by whom we believe in. All right? If we believe in a mighty, strong God, when there are difficult things that need doing, like Ruby had a different difficult challenge this morning, we will come to Him because we know He's strong. Jake's strong enough. We know God is strong enough to hear our prayers and to answer them. And I want to just take a few minutes this morning to talk about this mighty and great God whom we pray to, which we heard about in the reading this morning. The first thing is, we believe that God is a God of hope. He's a God of hope. Now, why I love this picture is because, if you can see, it's a concrete sort of floor, and out of it is a beautiful flower. You wouldn't expect a beautiful flower to grow out of a concrete bit of ground. But it's a picture of hope, isn't it? A beautiful picture of hope. And the Bible tells us that God's hope doesn't disappoint us because He's poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, do we mean the sort of hope that says, I hope there's ice cream for pudding, or I hope it won't rain this week? Well, if we live in Britain, you do hope it'll rain this week. Well, I mean, if we live in Britain, that's not a very certain thing, is it? No, we believe in a hope that is certain, that will never fail. God is a God of love and hope, and He will never, ever let us down. Christian hope is certainty. It's a hope that will carry us through our lives, whatever we encounter, that God will provide for us today and forever. Let me tell you a story about a lady called Karen. Now, Karen was very successful. She earned a lot of money. And most people would have thought she was completely happy. But she more and more felt there was no purpose to her life. And as she searched for purpose and hope, she joined a church. But like this, she did an Alpha course and then encountered Jesus. She encountered God's hope in Christ. And she describes what happened like this. She said it was like she was scooped up by a helicopter and taken back to dry land when she was in total despair. Have you ever seen those helicopters that fly along the coast when you're at the seaside? They're rescue helicopters, and they pull people out of very difficult situations, and they bring them home again. And this lady said, when I met Jesus, it was like I was taken from a very difficult place by a helicopter and brought back to strong and safe ground. I was brought home. I had hope again. Paul says we have a living hope because Jesus died and rose again. Death has been defeated. And you know, this morning around our church, there are lots of people, and if I was to go around you, who could tell stories of hope in their lives, how God has turned difficult things and turned them around and given them hope again. And this morning, as Andrew and Julie have had Humphrey baptized, they're praying that he will experience that hope in his life. And my prayer is the same for you, that every one of you would experience the hope of Jesus. Because God is a God of hope. Secondly, he is a generous God. He is a generous God. David, sorry, Ben, can you have the next one up, please? Thank you. He loves us so much, and he's given us good things. Now, does anybody know, can you tell me what it means to inherit something? If you suddenly inherit something, what does that mean? What does it mean if you suddenly inherit something? Any answers to my question? If you suddenly... Yeah.
You catch on to something really well.
Yeah, you get something. You do, that's certainly true. Can I be developed a little bit? If you inherit something, you get something. But why do you get it, do you think? It's freely given, yeah? Usually it's because of what? Yes, you're a member of a family, that's right. Usually you inherit something if you are a son or a daughter of a parent who has died and left you maybe money or a home, and it's because you're a child of that parent that you gain it. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, God says you inherit, you are given wonderful gifts because you're a child of him. He's a generous God. He gives you life, and life in its fullness, a life that will never end. We have a wonderful, wonderful inheritance. And in our reading this morning, Paul prayed that God would show to people the glorious riches you are preparing for them. There's a man called Nicky Gumbel, and he is behind the Alpha Course. And he tells a story about a lady a bit like this. There's a beautiful painting. This painting is by a lady called Carol Mayne, of someone who perhaps is not very well off or on the streets. Sometimes we might even call this person a bag lady. And he tells a story, Nicky tells a story of a lady who was on the streets. And she walked around the parish. She would ask for money and she would react angrily to those who didn't give her money. She used to have lots and lots of bags. She kept everything in her bags. And one day, Nicky had heard that she died. And he was asked to take this lady's funeral. Nicky didn't expect that anybody would come to this lady's funeral. But in fact, lots of quite rich people suddenly appeared at the church of the funeral of the lady. And he was amazed. And as he asked after the funeral was over about her, apparently she had inherited a huge amount of money and an estate. She actually was very, very rich when she died, but she never claimed her inheritance. She didn't take what was hers and live in a beautiful home or with the money that she had. She didn't take her inheritance. She remained on the streets living with her plastic bags. Do you know, quite a lot of us sometimes, even when we become Christians, don't realize everything that God has given us as children. That he gives us hope, he forgives us, he gives us a purpose in life. We don't live in the inheritance we have. We're a bit like the lady, we still sort of think we're poor. But Jesus says, we're rich. He's given us great gifts. Gifts for life, gifts for eternity. We are blessed, Paul says, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are forgiven. God loves us so much. And he wants us to know his love in our lives. I heard this lovely quote recently from a man, a writer called G.K. Chesterton. He said, God loves us. He is the only God who loves sinners. False gods despise sinners. The Father of Jesus loves everyone, no matter what they do. And by his mercy, we have been restored into a right relationship with God through the life and death of his lovely, beloved Son, Jesus. You see, God loves us. He loves sinners. And he forgives us. And he wants us to know that love, to know the gift of that love today. So, our God is a God of hope. He's a generous God. And finally, he's a powerful God. Our God is awesome. Awesome. Sometimes that word, awesome, is used to describe things that aren't terrible. And you say, wow, that's awesome. Sorry about the American accent. That's awesome. But actually, the word awesome means we are filled with awe and wonder. We just say, wow, that's who you are, God. Wow. Wow. You made that beautiful creation. You're responsible for all the good things in our lives. You are amazing, and you can do amazing things. Our God is an awesome God. Listen to this verse from the Old Testament. Do you not know God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth? And its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He reduces the rulers of this world to nothing, and he sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. God is awesome. Let me take you, as I finish this morning, right back to the start of my talk. Ruby really thought her dad is awesome because he's strong enough and he could lift that table up. He was big, he was strong, and she knew with his help, she would, and the help of a few others, be able to do what she needed to do. But how much more, when we pray to God, do we come to someone who is awesome and full of power and might and can do wonderful things. There is no one like our God. He wants you to have hope today, even in the midst of the darkness, a deep sense of his presence. He wants you to know he's generous and he really loves you. And he wants you to know that nothing is too difficult. Nothing is too difficult for him, however young or old you are. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. You are an amazing God. Thank you, Lord, that when we pray to you, who loved us and gave yourself for us in your Son, Jesus. That when we turn to you, you come to us and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that when we come to you, we come to a God who gives us hope and a future which will never perish and fade. And thank you, Lord, we come to you, awesome, almighty God, full of wonder. And that the same power, Lord, that you used to create the world is the power that you put in us when we put our trust in you by the Holy Spirit. Amen.